Hello and welcome to Grace Life Sir Lowry's Pass. We are a gospel-centered church family focused on reaching the unreached and making disciples. We pray this teaching will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus and discover more of the reality of Christianity.
Last week, we looked at what it means to truly, or not last week, it was actually the week before, right? We looked at what it means to truly repent. What is bekering? We spoke a little bit more about what Christu also preached about from Romans 8 verse 5 to 17. And focus. Christu said, your focus determines your fruitfulness. What you focus on will determine how fruitful you are as a Christian,
yeah,
as a child of God. Amen? Does that make sense? If we focus on the world, we focus on all of the things that we get distracted with, then we're going to struggle. We're going to see little fruit in our lives. But if we focus on the Word of God, if we focus on what Jesus has done for us, then we will be fruitful. We spoke about how change comes from understanding the goodness of God. Change comes from understanding the goodness of God. Seeing His kindness, seeing His love and grace leads us to repent.
Yes.
Leads us to bekeren. Die goedheid van God lei ons om te bekeren. Okay. It is not the judgment, not the fear of God that leads us to repentance. The Word says that the goodness of God leads to repentance. No? And what does it mean to repent? It means we change our beliefs about God.
Yeah.
We change our beliefs about God. It is not fear of punishment or condemnation that will lead people to God. It is seeing how good He is that attracts people to Him. Dit is wat mense nader trek aan God. God se goedheid. Né? Nee? Julle onthou waar ons gesels het, né? Right. From Romans 1, we learn that deep down, everyone knows that God exists. But somewhere in their lives, they got hurt in the world. They were maybe disappointed. Hulle het hulle hoop op God gesit en vir iets gevra wat God nie kan gee nie. En omdat hulle dit nie gekry het, is hulle disappointed, né? Or they came across a Christian that did not represent God as well as we should. Daar's baie redes hoekom mense God verwerp. And somewhere along the line, a wrong belief formed in their hearts. They believe God does not care, God is angry, God just wants to punish, God is far away, He does not love them. Some people completely reject and suppress the truth that there is a God. And all of that because a wrong belief, because of a wrong belief that God is not good. I think it comes down to that. People don't know how good God is. People don't know how good God is. And it is our responsibility to show people that God is truly good. Amen?
Yes.
Because then they will turn to Him.
Yes.
I think about my past and how I struggled with sin. Fear of punishment never helped me not to sin. Fear of punishment, fear of God never helped me not to sin. In fact, it drove me deeper into sin.
Yeah.
I found out that to overcome sin is not to struggle with it, but to completely take my focus away from sin. To focus on who I am in Christ. To focus on my purpose and what I am called to as a believer. Which is to worship God by living a yes, Lord life. No? And to focus on what God has already blessed me with. To see that what God has given us, what God offers us, is incomparably greater than what the devil could ever tempt you with. if you see that, if you see the temptations of the enemy and if you see the temptations of the world as what it truly is, what it truly is, it loses all desirability. Jou begeerte vir die dinge van die wêreld verdwyn. Dit verdwyn, want jy sien dit is dood. Dit is vrot. Dit lei nie na enige iets goed nie. As ons if we can see, if we can unmask the temptation, if we can unmask the devil, as ons sê mombakkie, wat noem jy dit? Dis 'n mombakkie, né? 'N mombakkie kan afhaal. En kan sien wat se lyk dit eintlik is. Want dit ons geen begeerte daarvoor, geen begeerte nie. Wat God vir ons het, what God has for us is I can't even compare it. I can't even compare it. It is so, so much better.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Some verses that really stood out to me from Romans 8 so far is Romans 8 verse 2. Romans 8 verse 2. Please open your Bibles there at Romans 8 verse 2. Or Romans 8. Anyone? Oh, I can't really. I can lend you my Bible if I'm done reading. But if anyone needs a Bible, please let us know, and we can organize a Bible for you. Okay, I don't have one now, but we can make sure that you get a Bible. It's very important. How can we have relationship with God without a Bible? Huh? Romans 8 verse 2. Says, and because you belong to him, listen to the words that is written here. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That is powerful. If you focus on that truth alone and believe it in your heart, you will be unstoppable.
Yes.
You belong to God. Listen to what that says. You belong to God. You are His. You belong to Him. His life-giving spirit in you has made you free from the power of sin. We really need to think about these things. For it to sink down and to realize what is this guy saying. This is phenomenal things that he is saying here. We are free. You are free of your addiction. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yes.
The word of God says, because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin. You are free. You are free from the power of sin.
Yes. Amen.
We need to believe the truth. We need to believe it. I never knew that Romans explained this truth so much and from so many angles. If you had to ask me what the message of Romans is, I would say it is about the believer's freedom.
Freedom.
Yeah. Because he looks at it from different angles, but at the end of the day, it's about freedom. Freedom from sin, and freedom to live for God.
Amen.
Because we can't live for God if we are stuck in sin, if we are focusing on sin. No? If we are not free from sin, then you can't serve God. This study from Romans has really, really blessed me. Romans 8 verse 11 is another verse that stood out to me. Romans 8 verse 11. It says, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Think about that. No? Who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Huh? Wow.
Amen.
And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Think about that. The Spirit of God lives in you. You are one with God. There is no separation. Daar is geen scheiding tussen ons en God nie. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Does these things excite you? Huh?
Amen.
The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Nothing else in this universe has that power. Nothing else. And that same Spirit lives in you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Praise the name. Amen. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? Take a moment to think about who God is, what Jesus showed us about God, and think about the fact that you are one with Him. These are the kinds of things we need to meditate about. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. This is what God has given us. We do not lack anything. We do not lack anything. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. By His divine power, divine means godly, His God power, God has given us everything, everything. He didn't withhold anything. He has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. That is how you receive all. Imagine, do you want all the blessings of God? Huh?
Yeah.
Do you want all of it?
Oh, yes.
You don't sound like you're eager to get all the blessings of God. It is just by knowing Him.
Yes.
It is just by saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe what Jesus has done for me. And you have all the blessings of God.
Yeah.
Sure.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself. God is calling you to Himself.
Yes.
That's a word for someone here this morning. God is calling you to Himself. He is inviting you with open arms by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. That's beautiful. We do not lack anything. Romans 8 verse 12 says you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. What does that mean? You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. It means you are free.
Yes.
Right? And you have the power to say no to temptation.
Yes.
The New Living Translation says sinful nature. That is not a good translation for that word. The King James Version says flesh, okay? We don't have a sinful nature anymore. If you are a believer, sin does not have any control, any power, any authority over you. If you are a believer, temptation comes from our flesh, like the King James Version puts it. It comes from the flesh, our bodies that will one day be transformed, and from our minds that we need to renew with the truth of God's Word. That is where temptation comes from. There's not two natures, God's nature and the nature of the devil fighting on the inside of us. It is God's nature, God's Spirit on the inside of you, fighting against your unrenewed mind, your stinking thinking.
Yes.
Stinking thinking. That is what causes us to make mistakes. That is what causes us to sin. That is what causes us to run away from God instead of towards God.
Yeah.
Our stinking thinking. Don't let stinking thinking keep you away from God. Okay. Romans 8, verse 18. That is what we are going to look at this morning. Romans 8, verse 18. We are going to look at Romans 8, verse 18 to 30 this morning. I'm going to read for you. Romans 8, verse 18. It says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste, a voorsmaakie, of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words.
Hallelujah.
And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory."
Amen.
Amen. That is awesome. So, what we see here is that this body, this stinky thinking brain of ours,
yes,
is one day going to be transformed. And that will be taken away. Eh? But let's see. We are going to go through the verses. And we'll just explain a few things. Because this is wonderful. It is talking about something that is going to happen in the future. Eh? This is the hope of the Christian.
Yes.
This is what we look forward to. This is what the believers in Rome, in the time of Jesus, or even today,
yes,
people who are being persecuted, people who are being put to death for their faith, this is what they look forward to.
Yeah.
They gladly sacrifice their lives. They don't deny Christ because they know this glory is in the future. Romans 8 verse 18 says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later.
Yeah.
For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. The creation is looking forward to a day when it will be free from death and decay. Decay is it is the process of dying.
Yeah.
Okay. Om te vrot. Decay.
Yeah.
For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Okay, verse 20 says that all creation was subjected to God's curse, ne? Against its will. This verse is talking about the disobedience of Adam and its consequences. Romans 5 verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin. Okay? That is what verse 20 is talking about. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope. It is because of Adam's sin. Eh? We read in Genesis 3 verse 17 about the curse that came upon the earth. Genesis 3 verse 17. After Adam and Eve sinned, disobeyed God, opened the door for sin and death into the world, this is what God said. Genesis 3 verse 17. And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree of fruit, tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it, and it will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Okay? This is all the effect of sin on the world. God is telling Adam about the effects of Adam's disobedience. God is saying, Adam, this will be the result of your disobedience. The earth is cursed because of that. You opened the door to sin and death. Now let me tell you what sin and death is going to do. No? And we read about the effects of sin and death. So death, sickness, disease, pain, suffering, aging, no? Growing old and dying. All of that became a part of this world. The whole creation, it was not just human beings that was subjected to sin and death. It was the whole creation was affected by sin and death. And Paul says that everything is waiting for that day of salvation to come. That day of freedom to come. Paul is saying that there will come a day, and on this day a few things will be shown to all people, and something will happen. Number one, everyone will see who has truly trusted in Jesus for their salvation. On the day when Jesus returns, we will know for sure who have truly trusted in Jesus for their salvation.
Yes.
We are not going to see who has performed the best. We will not see who did enough works in order to go to heaven.
Yeah.
We will see who truly trusted in Him. Who truly trusted in Jesus.
Amen.
And who did not. Who was a child of God and who aren't.
Yes. Amen.
And then number two, the rest of creation, the world we live in, will also be freed from death and decay like we are. This includes our bodies, because our bodies are a part of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 8 verse 23. Romans 8 verse 23. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Okay? What Paul is talking about here is the day when this age will come to an end. The believers in Jesus will be resurrected from the dead and they will be transformed. These physical bodies will be changed. We will no longer be tempted by sin, no longer led by our desires and our feelings. Our minds will be completely renewed. Sure, I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Our minds will be completely renewed because we will see God face to face on that day. Huh? Hopefully, when that day comes, we will not be surprised by what we see. When we know Him fully and completely. Some people believe things about God that is completely wrong. And they will find out the God in their minds is not the same God that they come to meet on that day. Romans 8 verse 23 says, "We groan in longing as we wait for our bodies to be made completely free of sin and suffering. But we know it will happen because we have the deposit of the Holy Spirit in us." Eh? This is our hope. Because we have the Holy Spirit, the foretaste, I like that word, the foresmaking. I hear you, a foresmaking. We are given a foretaste of glory through the Holy Spirit in us.
Yes.
That is what we can enjoy today. But on that day, we will have our full inheritance. We will have our full inheritance. Remember what we spoke about on Resurrection Sunday. We said that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection harvest.
Amen.
The day will come when the rest of the harvest will come in. And we are the rest of the harvest.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15. You can go to 1 Corinthians 15.
Yes.
42. Corinthians 15 verse 42 says, "It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to life forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies." Okay? Jump down to verse 15. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50. "What am I saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed."
Yes.
"It will happen in a moment. In the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to life forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die.
Amen.
Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled.
Come on.
Death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen. Amen.
That's amazing. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?
Yes.
For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. Mm. But thank God, He gives us victory.
Come on.
Thank God.
Yeah. Huh? Hallelujah.
He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. That's amazing. I don't think I need to explain any of that. But this is the future glory that Paul talks about. This is our full inheritance as children of God. In our spirit, we are already one with God, no?
Yes.
In the spirit, there is no difference between us and God. But what we see here is that it is just the first part of our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened in our spirit is the first part and the guarantee of what Paul describes here in 1 Corinthians 15. It is the beginning. It starts with God's Spirit in us, and at the fullness of times, our whole being will be transformed. Wow. Mm. Ephesians 1 verse 13. And now, you Gentiles, Ephesians 1 verse 13, have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify Him. Amen. From our point of view, in the timeline, imagine a timeline, starting at year 0, or year 1, 2, 3, until 2000, and where are we now, 24, the timeline. We are in the timeline, okay? Our salvation will be complete when we are raised from the dead and transformed. We still need to get to that place, no? But from God's point of view, outside of the timeline, God is outside of time, and He looks onto the timeline.
Amen.
He sees all the events of the world, all of history He sees.
Amen.
But from His point of view, we are already saved. You understand? From God's point of view, our salvation is complete.
Yes.
Because the Spirit of God is on the inside of us.
Amen.
God does not see the timeline. He sees from an eternal perspective.
Yes, yes.
We still in the timeline. We need to get there.
Mm.
God sees it as already done. Do you understand? But what really stands out to me from all of this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 52. Paul says that we will be raised to life.
Come on.
Forever.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
We will be raised to life to spend eternity with God. That is amazing. That is what we have. This cannot be taken away from us. It's easy to read these things and think it's all like, don't really have to think about it. It's all fairy tales. No. This is the truth. This is going to happen.
Amen.
This is going to happen. This is so different from what the other religions say. In Islam, there is no certainty that their God will allow them into heaven. In Buddhism, they believe you are reincarnated to life in this world of suffering again and again and again. That's what Buddhism believes. They believe you have karma. Karma is like sin. And you live your life trying to get rid of your sin. And then if you still have sin left, you are reincarnated as a different person, different time. And then you have to try again to live a sinless life. That's craziness, huh?
Yeah.
And then you do good things, you do good things, you live a good life, and you hope all of your sin has been taken care of. But if not, then you start again. Every life, you try and live a better life. You don't know what happened in your future life or in your past life, but this is the mission. And it's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah.
That's what they believe. It's silliness, huh? Christianity is the only religion that says that God saves man. All the other religions that I've heard about is man tries to earn salvation. Their way of saying it is different. They use different ideas and words, but they all come back to man performing and earning eternal life. We have the truth. We have the Holy Spirit. We know that at the end of our lives, you can be sure.
Yeah.
At the end of life, you can be sure that you will be saved. You can be sure that God will save you. You can be sure of this glory that you are going to experience. There's no doubt. You don't have to doubt. And I'm sure that this is what those believers, in any believer today that is persecuted, that faces death, that is what they hold on to. This life is nothing. It will soon be passed. Huh? Mm-hmm. It will soon be passed. That's why they can do anything for God. Why we can do anything for God. What is persecution? Huh? What is threats against your life? It's nothing. Because we have a future glory, a future hope. You need to realize that there, in this world, at this time, there are people who die for their faith. Yeah. People who are really actually persecuted. Just because we don't experience it. We are safe here in South Africa for now. And we've lived lives of peace. But I promise you, the world is big. And there are places in this world where believers are killed and persecuted.
Yeah.
Their heads are chopped off. The most terrible things happen to these believers. It's happening right now. It is, I promise you. And when this happens to those people, this is their hope. That they have the Holy Spirit. They can live all out for God.
Amen.
There's no fear. Yeah. There's no fear in them. Because the love of Christ has filled them. Yeah. And all fear has been cast out. They know that when I lay down my life for Christ, I will be resurrected. I will be transformed on the last day. And I will spend eternity with God. This life is nothing.
Yes.
It's nothing. Forever. Wow. Imagine a rope that goes all around Solaris Pass. This life is nothing. When 1,000 years have passed in eternity, you're not even going to remember this life. You're not even going to remember it. Eternity with God is what is ahead of us. That is amazing. Romans 8 verse 26 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers.
Yes.
In harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Okay? I'm not going to talk about everything in these verses, What he says about the Holy Spirit and prayer there is amazing. But verse 28 is often taken out of context. And a favorite fridge magnet scripture. Verse 28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them." People like to quote that first part. "And we know that God causes everything to work together," eh? "For the good, for our good." Eh? They like to quote the scripture. People take that verse and they name it and they claim it, and they think that everything in their lives are just going to magically work out for them. God is controlling everything in order for them to have lives without problems and struggles. Tell that to the apostles and the early believers who suffered hunger, persecution, danger, and even death. No? I'm not saying that this interpretation is the only interpretation of this verse, but think about the context of this verse, okay? Think about the context. What has Paul been talking about? He has been talking about the resurrection. Okay, he's been talking about, I'm not talking about Jesus' resurrection. Our resurrection is what he's been talking about, okay? The future glory, the transformation. His focus is on eternity, on heaven, not on the things of this life. If we look with an eternal perspective, keeping in mind what we have spoken about today, we can understand and truly everything does work out for our good. Do you understand how everything will work out for our good?
Amen.
It is when we look in the perspective of eternity.
Yeah.
If we look in the terms of the future glory that we will have, then nothing in this life will matter. Everything will work out for our good.
Good.
You see? Even if your head is chopped off. Even if you are tortured for Christ. Everything will work out for your good. Even if you are hungry. Everything will work out for your good.
Praise the Lord.
Huh? Think about this. We have to see the verse in context. Whatever your trouble is, whatever your struggles is, yes, everything will work out for your good. Why? Because of this promise. Because of the promise of the Holy Spirit in you. The promise of the hope of glory. The promise of heaven. That is why everything will work out for your good. Because it doesn't matter what happens to our bodies in this life. Nothing can take away eternity from you. Nothing can take away your eternal life. That is how everything will work together for your good. So, that is so much better.
Amen.
So much better than believing a lie that God is going to make your life all sunshine and roses.
Yeah.
Amen? Because that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Romans 8 verse 29. Romans 8 verse 29. I'm drawing to a close. Romans 8 verse 29 says, "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory." This is also to do with what the context is saying, okay? The verse begins with "for." That connects the ideas, that Paul is saying here. He further explains how all things will work out for our good. This verse does not say that God decided who will be saved. Okay?
Yes.
Many people use these verses to say that it has been determined by God from before everything was created that this one will be saved, this one will not be saved, that one will be saved. I don't like you, you won't be saved. You, I like you, you'll be saved. That is like, that's called predestination.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay? People have used this verse to prove or to give this idea of God decides who will be saved, who will not be saved. Okay, but that is not true. This verse is saying that God knew.
Yes.
God knew who would choose him, exactly. He knew who would accept the gospel. He knew who would be saved. But once we receive salvation, God has decided.
Yes.
Okay? He knew who would receive him. He didn't choose people to receive him and not to receive him. He knew who. But then those who do receive him, he has a plan.
Yeah.
He has set things that is predestined. Okay? What happens to us after we are saved, that is set in place. That is predestined. Okay? Once we receive salvation, God has decided that they are called, that they are chosen, that they are given right standing with himself.
Awesome.
You understand? He has decided that they will be glorified and they will inherit eternal life. Those are all things God has decided that will happen. Okay. The things of 1 Corinthians 15, those are the things that God has planned will happen. But it is every person's own choice whether they want that to happen. No? Whether they want the gospel, whether they want to be with God. We decide, every person decides whether they want all things to work out together for their good by accepting Christ. No? By faith and trust in what Jesus has done for us, we get all of this. How blessed we are.
Yeah.
And we must share it freely with all people.
You can find more of our free teachings on our website, www.gracelife.co. And if you're ever in the Solaris Pass area, we invite you to join us for one of our gatherings. Our aim is to help you discover Jesus, find family, and experience life. To contact us, or to find out where and when we meet, visit our website, www.gracelife.co.